Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is June 14th, 2016. So last week we had a bonus call, and because it was, I guess, June happened to have five Thursdays in the month, and normally we have the calls on second and fourth Thursday of the month. So yeah, the next one will be on the July 28th, if you want to put that on your calendar too, at the same time. And so yeah, today we're going to be talking about more about radio interviews. And, of course, all of this applies to everything that you do for publicity. And so, you know, this could apply to, you know, doing interviews for magazines or for newspapers or television, just about anything. So, or blogs. Sometimes a website or a blog might want to interview you as well. So lots of different things. And yeah, June, I know you're new. Do you want to, or relatively new to these calls, to the course, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah. I'm a pharmacist, and I've spent my whole life competing in equine sports. The horse sports are, that's kind of my connection to the sports part of this. And I would love to be able to take this and not just use it for the sports psychology for, you know, any sport, but especially equestrian sports. I would also like to use this with the pharmacy side, with some health and fitness coaching, with helping people manage their weight, find a good fitness routine, and sort of some coaching in that direction as well.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Yeah, it's great to have you, June. And let's see. Well, Michelle, do you want to introduce yourself briefly to June? So, Michelle, she's up in Canada, in Vancouver. So sometimes her, I think she calls in from Skype. So sometimes her,
Hi.
Service goes
I'm
in
back.
And out. Oh, hi.
I was on mute.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Hi, June. My name's Michelle, and I live in Vancouver, Canada. And nice to meet you. And I've been doing Dr. Joanne's program for a few years now and really enjoying it. And, yeah, I have my own private practice in Vancouver working with athletes. It's great.
Yeah, what kind of athletes, Michelle, do you want to say?
All over the map. I have a couple national freestyle skiers. Junior A hockey, mountain biking, cycling, paracycling, fencing, lots of tennis, swimming, sailing. Oh, I had a really good thing come up last week, Dr. Joanne. There's a fellow here in Ontario where I am right now. He was an Olympic runner. And he started up this business just recently called My Remote Coach, and he was looking for a sports psychology person to have on board. So I'm going to be working with him as well and his clients. So that'll be
fun.
Wow.
My Remote Coach? So it's kind of like, is it an app sort of thing?
No, it's he coaches in triathlon and middle and short distance running athletes all around the world, and athletes that have a hard time joining a club because they're not in major cities but still want to compete. So yeah, he's just launched this business just recently, and he has people all around the world that he's working with, so he'll just recommend me and then, you know, just boost up my fees a little bit. And for me, it all stays the same. I'll just have a bit more business, hopefully.
Wow, great. Yeah, it works out really well. It's complimentary since you're, you know, with our field, with sports psychology, we can work all around the world. We don't have to have that physical presence with someone.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so that's great. Yeah, thanks, Michelle. Yeah, it's such a joy to work with you all these years. That's great. And I think you were working with, well, you're always working with somebody toward the Olympics or toward, you know, national championships, that kind of thing too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been really lucky. I've been getting very high caliber athletes, and it's what I wanted from this course, and it's I kind of got there, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Nice to have you there so you can, I can, you know, bounce questions off of you, and I always feel supported. It's great.
Yeah, that's great. It's nice. It's, what we do works with all levels of sports and all different kinds of sports. So, yeah, did someone else just join us too?
This is Jeff, Dr. Joanne.
Oh, hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good.
Okay, good. We were just, yeah, it's going to be, yeah, I know you were the one that requested talking about radio interviews, right?
Yeah.
Great. So, yeah, I wanted to, and I'm always interested in topics, any topics that you all want me to, want us to talk about, present on these calls. So, yeah, I was, because thank you, Jeff, for coming up with the topic of radio interviews, because that's what we'll talk about today. So,
great.
And June is new to the program. We're just introducing ourselves. Do you want to introduce yourself to June and just say who you are, what kind of athlete you work with?
Sure. My name's Jeff Meyer. I live in Colorado. And right now I'm working with a whole bunch of different. I have a gymnast. I have a pro golfer, an almost Olympic swimmer. And I've got a bunch of basketball players that I'm doing things with, so busy.
Great. An almost Olympic swimmer?
Yeah, she
didn't quite make it?
0.2 seconds to get to the trials. Just missed her. I wish she called me up about a month ago. I wish it would have been just a little bit sooner, and I think there's just either time. It seems like, and obviously you understand this more than I do, Dr. Joanne, but a lot of people have called and said, we need to fix this right now.
Yeah. The Olympic trials are next week.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, we're 3 weeks away from it. And, you know, she definitely, you know, set some personal bests for her, but she was just short of the trials.
Yeah, well, that's great to be able to work at that high caliber of that kind of person.
Well, and I told you, she just signed a full-ride scholarship to Arizona State. And she's going to be coached by one of your athletes.
Oh, yeah, Misty Hyman?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I the story there is I worked with Misty Hyman for several years, and she became, you know, she was Olympic gold medalist in the 200-meter butterfly. That was in the Sydney Olympics, a few Olympics back. And it's exciting. Some of the athletes you work with, they can go on to do great, even better things. She was really a big deal back then and broke the 20-year-old, Mary T. Maher's 20-year-old American record, and it was only a couple seconds off the world record, a couple tenths off the world record. And now she's working at University of Arizona with Michael Phelps and the athletes. She's coaching there, assistant coach, working with the athletes to go to the Brazil Olympics. So, so now the athlete that I worked with is now a coach, and she's working with, so it sounds like your athlete, Jeff.
We're
all connected.
Small world, huh?
Yeah, that's great. And I'm working with another athlete this time, Leah, who just made the Olympic team for the Brazil Olympics, too. And so I'll tell you more about that as we go along here, too. So, let's get into our great to have all of you here. Thank you. Welcome. And last time when we talked, can you hear me okay? All okay as far as the audio goes? Is my voice loud enough?
Yeah.
It's great, okay. Dr. John.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think last time it wasn't, the recording didn't come out quite loud enough, so I was going to just review the material I went over last time. And then go into new material as well for the radio interviews. So let me, during this part, I'll just put it on mute here so we can get a good recording. And then if you want to ask a question in the middle, just press *6 to unmute yourself. And then afterward, we'll allow you to ask more questions too. Questions, comments, I welcome anything that you'd like to contribute. So here we go. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about first is an add to what we talked about last week was how to do radio interviews, and of course this can apply to any. These techniques can apply to any types of interviews, TV or magazine, newspaper, website interviews. All of that is relevant these days, podcasts, all of that. And so what I've been doing radio interviews for many years, and especially during this Olympic period, it's really a lot of programs, you know, local radio stations and national radio stations want want guests on to talk about sports psychology and performance psychology, mental training. And so first, I think it's really important to be a guest, that's something that you can work toward, to be a guest on a radio station, and it's actually better than TV, I think. And I've had experience over the last 25 years or so doing radio interviews. I've attracted, hundreds of new clients that way, and sold, thousands of my books, and so you can do the same thing. Even if you don't have a book, you can really attract a lot of clients, and if you have, a product that you want to create, even a little CD or an ebook or something, articles that you want people to download or attract people to your website, it's a great way to get people on board with you and create more clients and more income. So in a very simple way too, and you can be the real go-to expert in your community for your sports psychology coaching. And actually, you think, well, it might be really hard to get on radio, but actually it's not that difficult. Producers really want your expertise. There aren't that many, qualified sports psychology coaches out there, and so that's why I'm training, have this training program for you. And it really raises your credibility, helps position you as the expert, and gives you a lot of really great positive exposure. And of course, with TV, you have to look nice and get your hair all fixed up and, dress appropriately and often go to the TV station. Whereas with radio, you can do those radio interviews from home. Now, I've also gone to the radio studio. Sometimes they'll invite you there, and that's great, too, because you can go to the studio, meet the hosts, and get really good quality sound when you're in the studio and interact with other top people on the show if it's a panel. But you don't have to at all, and you can do the radio interviews from home, and you can have a bad hair day. you can be doing it in your pajamas. Easy, don't have to deal with traffic. That's great. And if people, if someone has a last-minute cancellation, you can let them know if they have a cancellation, they can call you at the last minute. You're right there at your phone, and you, boom, in 5 minutes you're on the interview. So it's really exciting. Also, you can do them from, some programs will have Skype or Google Hangouts, use some form of video along with the radio. So it could be a combination of, like NPR, National Public Radio, does radio and TV. So you could do both if you want. And then a really good thing about it is, in general, radio programs are live. With TV, they may, tape it ahead of time and then cut certain things out, or cut out half your interview, or if you say your website or something, they might cut that out, whereas with radio programs, it's live, and they tend to not cut things out. They allow you to speak freely, and so you can, give out your information, and they'll ask for it, how can people get in touch with you? So it's good to have a website or a title of your program that they can, can look up some way to contact you. So, another good thing is that often radio programs will have a section where you're interviewed, and then a second section where there's audience interaction. They have call-in time, so you can get a chance to interact with people. And when people ask you questions and get involved with you, that's when they really want to work with you. Those people who are asking questions are your potential clients, so it's great to be able to give good information to them. And then you can give out your your website, if you have a program, name of your program, you know, you can say, like I would say in my Your Performing Edge program, I do blah, blah, blah. So that gives people the name of the program. And also, you know, you can have that as your website so people remember it. And thinking about, you know, their radio really, the producers want your information. If there's controversy out there, something, you know, about, let's say, football, yeah, well, Willie, you're working in the area with football, with TBI, traumatic brain injury, that's a big controversy now, you know, in the football area, how much damage it's causing to athletes' brains. So that's a, you know, them, if something comes out in the news about that, then you can call the radio station and say, I have a, even if you're not a neuropsychologist, you know, if you have experience in that area just with athletes, just a clinical experience, then you can be the expert, talk about that. And you can always do additional, you know, the Internet's great now with Google. You can just, you know, research anything if something's come up. You know, often radio stations, they'll call me for an interview, and then I'll ask, could you send me an article or two? Or they'll offer that right away, just say, oh, yeah, this article just came out, or this interview just came out, or this athlete's in trouble for something, or, you know, and here's the article on it so that you're up to date on that. And so you're basically getting the news right away from the host. Sometimes things happen, like, within a few seconds, and then the radio, TV stations are on it right away, and so you're learning, you know, moment by moment what's happening. You know, right at that moment, they want to interview you as soon as possible. So time is of the essence. If you can do, if they often they want an interview that day or, you know, right away. So it's great to, but since you don't have to travel anywhere, you don't have to get dressed up, it's really easy to do. And often, you know, if one topic is really hot, then, you know, radio station will call, and then you can, you know, it's really good to write down. I ask them to email me the questions ahead of time, what they'll be asking, and then I write those down. And then often, and I'll take a note of what my answers might be to prepare, and then have that as a document for myself, and then I can call up other radio stations. You can do that the same and call other radio stations and say, I was just interviewed on XYZ radio and on this topic, and wondered if you would like to have an interview. And then you can basically use that same information over and over again for several different interviews and several different formats, radio, TV, newspaper, magazines, blogs, that sort of thing. And so also a good thing about radio is they will post your contact information on their website. And if you have something that is, you know, an article or a questionnaire, an assessment, a quick e-book, you know, it doesn't have to be real long, it could be just a chapter or two. You know, if you have something like that, you can offer people, you know, the top 10 tips for, you know, athlete performance anxiety, or, you know, just a tips list, something, people love those, and that way you can give that to the radio station in advance, and then they'll say, you know, you can refer to that and say, yeah, I have my top 10 tips list, and the producer will say that, yes, and we have that posted on our radio website at, you know, xyzradio.com/Dr. Joanne or /Michelle or something like that, or tips. It'll be right there at the top of their page, so people will go there to get that tips list or that assessment. So I'd say do that, you know, not just your contact information, but offer something of value to them for free. They could get it from your website, but always, of course, have a link to your own website. They'll just put, say, for the tips list, you know, on their website, they'll say, for the tips list, Willie or June or Michelle or Jeff, you know, you guys go to their website at blah, 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 and put the link there, so that will get people to go from the radio website to your website. Or if you don't have a website yet, you can put it on your Facebook page, that kind of thing too. So often most of the time I've found radio producers after the show they'll post the audio, the MP3 replay of your interview on their website. You can usually get that too and download it and then put it on your own website. So you've got it forever to share with people. And because it's an interview with the radio station, of course you can't sell it as a audio, but you can point people to it and have them look at that. If you make your own MP3, make sure it's just your own recording and not with the radio producers, and then you could sell that kind of thing. So so those are some of the advantages. And then I wanted to talk about how to do radio for your interviews for your best publicity and exposure. And, with different the methods I'm telling you, I've booked like, 7 out of the 10 stations that I've called. They wanted to book me for different interviews, so it's not as complicated as you might think. And they're looking for guests, so you want to, because they want to keep the listeners they've got, they want to get more. And if you can think of something, how you can educate people, or the producers are looking to save people time or money or teach them something new. So you can use those. Use your information for those kinds of things. And you want to come up with a hook of some sort, a spin, and put your spin on it. So a hook, by a hook, I mean, something of interest that is people want to learn about. And then tie in with the news, as I mentioned, in sports or psychology. So, for instance, with Brazil, the Olympics is really the hot topic right now. And, when something comes up, like athletes are concerned about the Zika virus, and some athletes have actually not decided not to go because of Zika. Like one top cyclist decided not to go because his wife is pregnant. And so even though he made the team, he's not going there. And so that's a kind of a controversial topic. And, how does that affect athletes' performances or their worries about other things? Just that kind of thing, anything, with the Olympics, the controversy about drugs used with the Russian athletes and all, that's a controversy. So anything like that is something that you could tie in to news. And then, if you have, a mental perspective on it, some different, put your spin on it, not just the typical news that they're reporting, but come at it from a psychology point of view, then you'll be able to add something to what they're already reporting. And 96% of the population listen to radio once a week. 75% of the population listen to radio once a day while driving in their car, commuting to work, commuting back. So you've got a lot of listeners there. So the best time of day to do interviews, often any time of day is good, but, early morning shows like 7 to 8, 8:30 or 9 o'clock slots are really good, and then afternoon commutes at 5:30, 6 o'clock are really good. You get the most listeners also at noontime. So those are spots to look for with radio stations. Of course, with podcasts, they're growing fast every day, and often radio stations have podcasts, meaning just a replay of their radio station. So they'll offer that, a replay of your interview. Or sometimes it might just be called a podcast rather than radio, but podcast is basically just another form of radio. Now, I wanted to talk about the next topic is the four ways to get radio interviews. Is there's paid ways, which I don't recommend because they're expensive and not that effective. There's RTIR, which is Radio TV Interview Report, but you pay them to you know, to get interviewed. But I found it's expensive, and basically they're putting an ad up there for you to as a interview guest. But I think you can do just as well by doing this yourself. You could also do a mass media blast. I've tried that in the past. I've paid a PR person for that. But it was a waste of time and money. You're kind of spamming the radio stations because if it's not personalized to them, then they tend to just see it as spam and don't respond to it. You know, mass media blast, meaning, you know, emailing hundreds of radio stations. So I wouldn't recommend that. It's better to just pick a few yourself and go and target them. The third way is to hire a PR firm, which is a lot of money, and if you have lots of money and no time, then but it could be $2,000 to often $5,000 or $10,000 a month. It's crazy what they charge, and they book you on small, maybe unimportant stations. There's no guarantees of any success or any amount of stations they'll book you on. So I don't recommend that, but the best way is to call the stations yourself, and I've had huge success with that. They they like that a lot because they get to talk to you, and you're as the guest, and they want to know what you sound like. They don't want to know, you know, what your PR person sounds like, but what you sound like. So you're really interviewing when you're calling them. So that's why it's important to have a script or, you know, just something written out that you practiced a little bit that you could say to them. So you call the newsroom first, and then you can ask for the producers. And there's not just one producer. There's many producers at a radio station. You know, there may be a news producer or a specialty sports producer, producers for different categories of shows, producers for different programs. So you can ask for the producer of say sports or whatever topic it is that you want, or if there's a particular host that you like, like on NPR radio, National Public Radio, there's Fresh Air. Terry Gross does that's a national program I listen to every day at 1 o'clock, and she interviews all kinds of great guests. So that would be something to ask for if you know of somebody that you like, want to be interviewed by. So that's the best way, I think, to get on the radio and to get those interviews is to call the stations yourself. And you can just go to their website, you know, for that station, and then just look for, newsroom, and first start with them. And there'll be story inquiries, there'll be a phone number there. Call them, and then they'll answer, and then tell them what your story, and tell them you want to, you have a story. A key word is story, not just information, but they, they're always looking for stories of some sort, and that's the word that they respond to. So story meaning you don't have to, it doesn't mean that you're, it doesn't have to be about a particular person, but it just means a story idea, meaning a news idea, and tell them what you would like to talk about. And you want to make it brief so that, because they're very short on time and want to know, want you to get right to the topic, get to the point. And then chances are they'll get back to you. Now, there's the next topic I want to talk about here are 10 things to have. And I want you to be writing down your questions as we go here. I'll just take a little break in a moment, and then we can kind of go to questions about what we've talked about here. There's 10 things to have in place before your interview, or several things. One is a great topic. If you can, come up with a nice title, a hook or something, a show, a story idea, that's important. Something that, say what athletes are worried about at the Olympics. You know, that would be an idea of a topic. something, that is of interest. If you go into any, store and look at the titles of magazines, magazine title, you know, on the front cover of a magazine. Those story titles, you know, the magazines pay millions of dollars for people to come up with those titles. It's amazing. And if you just take the title and change it to, you know, change the words, fill in the blanks to the words that you want, but use their same kind of sentence structure or phrase structure, then you probably have a winning topic. So a great topic is one thing. And then you want to have a website or some way that they can, if you have a toll-free phone number, that's really nice because people could pick up their cell phone and call you right then. But if you don't have, a lot of people don't have that, so it's fine to do a website or a Facebook page so that people could remember it. So if you can get a website, even if you don't have the website all set up, you could make it a URL, you know, that forwards to a website that you do have. Like if you have some website that's really hard to say or hard to spell, you know, then you could look up another, you know, get, you know, say go to GoDaddy and get another name that's easier to spell. You know, like mine is drjoanne.com, and then go to and have that forwarded to, you know, your real website. So that's fine to do. But if you could have it, ideally have a website name that it can only be spelled one way. It's easy to remember. Even if it's four or five words, it could be longer, just something catchy, like 10 things I always wanted to do this summer or something. That's a lot of words, but it's easy to remember and can only be spelled one way. Like Dr. Joanne, of course, the problem is Dr. Joanne can be spelled with an E, without an E. So I got both. I was fortunate to be able to get Dr. Joanne with an E and without an E, and then I have the one with an E forwarded to my real website that's without an E. So if you can get the misspelling, that's good too. So yeah, that's good. And then you want to be able to, another thing to get in place beforehand is if you're selling something, you know, like a book or an audio, you know, have the ability to accept credit cards is really a good thing. And I went over some of that material in an earlier call with how to do that. You could use, you know, there's different services, and the one I use is viprunning.com. If you're interested in that, you can let me know, and I can tell you more about it. It's a V as in Victor, like V, very important person. viprunning.com is the one that I've been really happy with. That's my affiliate link. So that's one way to be able to accept credit cards and then be able to, you know, just do business easily with people on the phone, or you can with that service you can set up a website or have a shopping cart on your website, a place where people can just click and then buy something, or they could even you know, set up a session with you and pay for the session right there with their credit card. So then the next thing to get in place is, if you're not in yourself, you can have or if you're out, you could have an answering service or someone to take your calls. Hopefully you can be there, you know, right after your radio interview to be able to take calls from people, because a lot of people might be calling you wanting to set up sessions with you. That would be great. You could offer a free consultation too, although if it's a big radio station, you might get overwhelmed with too many of those. So you could offer a discounted fee for an initial service, or, you know, say three sessions for $297. I often do that. That seems to, people respond really well to that. And then you want to have any credentials that you have, you know, list those. So that you're, if you have a degree or a job title, or if you have awards that you've received in the past, or any publicity that you've had, you know, you want to send that to the producer there. Any publicity you've had, like articles that you've written or published, or articles about you, or if you're founded an association of some sort, you know, all that kind of thing, list that there. Anything that you've done in the past, think about. Or your important clients you've worked with. Although it's good, it's important not to say the names of clients unless you have specific, you know, written permission from clients to use their names. It's better just to say, you know, I've worked with Olympic athletes or you know, professional athletes in these particular sports. And then you want to have a clear, another thing to have in place before your interview is a clear phone line. It's better to use a landline if you have one. I realize a lot of people don't have landlines anymore. I'm using one right now. And that's one reason I kept a landline specifically, is to be able to do like phone calls with you all and have for these PECI calls to have a really clear phone line and phone recording. And also, you know, with the radio interview, you want to have a really clear line. If you don't have a landline, though, a cell phone is okay as long as you try to get into an area where you have really clear reception. So, you know, sometimes you have to move around to make sure you've got good reception and get, you know, a quiet place so that as they'll be recording it. And then, you know, you want to develop like a current database of radio shows. So, and that's easy to do just by, you know, listening to, you know, radio shows that you like, or just looking up local radio shows in your area there. Just, you know, you can have a simple little spreadsheet. It could be a Word document or Excel spreadsheet of the radio show, the contact information, and then write, you know, put maybe a few columns like a call, you know, your action taken for each of those shows, you know, that you called them or they responded back or here's what they want me to send them. So you keep all of that straight. Another thing you need that's good to have is a press kit, and that can be online. Most of the things are just online these days. Or if they want you to send them materials, then you could do that. And if you do send them something by mail, you know, you want it to stand out. Like, I suggest put it in a bright red envelope. If you do have a book, you could put the book cover on the front and write on the envelope "Press Materials Enclosed." That way, because they get lots of mail, so that way it'll stand out because it's a different color envelope. And we'll talk about press kits maybe later in another call. I could do that next time. But you know, basically just putting in. With a press kit, you can put in your credentials, your bio, your topics, what you can cover, and any other publicity that you've had in the past, and, you know, all the things that, and then a list of bullet points. Here's all the things that I'll tell the audience. That's the most important part, is this bullet list of things that you want to communicate to the audience about your topic. So pick a topic and then say, here's the list of things I can say about that. And then if you have another topic, you could list that and then have another list of bullet points for that. And then here's really one important thing. This is one of the most important things to have to set up for an interview is a list of sample questions. So you want to make sure that you have that list of sample questions, so interview questions, so that the it makes the interviewer's job much easier. And they will. It makes your job easier because you know what to expect. You know what they'll ask you. And trust me, I've done this many times before, that the producer, the host, will ask you those questions. It's amazing. You give them the questions, and they'll just go right down the list most of the time, ask a little follow-up question here and there. But basically, they love it. They'll love you for giving them those questions. And so they don't have to do as much work. You're helping them dive into the topic more, you know, and in a really meaningful way. So you're able, and you sound really prepared because you know you can write out your answers to the questions, and it's basically, you know, scripted, but you can also, you know, sort of ad lib, and you know, you want to make it sound. You know, like a conversation, and respond to any follow-up questions that they have too. So, put your list of questions, and then for yourself, of course, have your answers there, what you would like to say, and of course, you can always elaborate on those. And then you can have a list of letters of recommendation From other, you know, if you've been on shows in the past, you can give their, you know, a couple of lines, testimonials of shows you've been on. And after this show, you know, your current show that you want, let's say, ask the producer, could you just write up a couple lines on either on your station letterhead there saying I was a great guest, and or email it to you so that you have that and you can put that on your website. So those are, and then a controversy sheet is a really good thing to have too. You know, list the, because radio shows love controversy because it increases their ratings. Now, if you're not comfortable with handling controversy or controversial things, that's okay. You know, if you've got your sample questions and your answers, then that'll help you to, you know, to be the expert there. But just you can read up on the issues so you know how to answer questions better. And most, I think, if you're not a Fox Radio or Fox TV is probably one of the worst ones for controversy, but a lot of the radio stations don't really, you know, they're not going to grill you. They just want some kind of, you know, issue that, that people really, that people get fired up about that are interested. And usually it'll be just you on the station being interviewed, so that's not as much conflict as if there's like two opposing parties kind of thing. So that's some issues. And then I wanted to talk about, those are issues I talked about on our last call that I was elaborating on this time, and then I wanted to add some other new issues or things like tips for calling producers. So after you call, you want to make a log of all your phone calls, like use a Excel spreadsheet or some kind of document where you say left a message, sent a press kit, or you said they'd call later, that kind of thing. And you want to keep your pitch real short, so you want to not ramble on the phone but get straight to the point. So, for instance, you know, here's a script, you know, that I've used, just very simple. Hey, my name is, you know, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, and I'm an expert in sports psychology coaching. In my case, I would say I wrote a book on this called Your Performing Edge, and I thought your listeners would be interested in all the tips I've learned on how to, and then fill in the blank. And then, you know, say how to handle performance anxiety or how athletes, how we can learn from Olympic champions. You know, just have a specific topic. And then here's my contact information. You can call me at this number or my website is blah, blah, blah. So that's an example of a script, just giving your name, and then you're an expert on this topic. Or it could be, it's better to say I'm an expert on, and then get even more specific on, you know, like LaTalia, we have one client, one of our students in this program is an expert on being a single mom, single sports mom, and how, you know, so that's, she could say she's an expert on that area. Or Michelle, you could say I'm an expert on, you know, tennis players, or Willie on baseball, I mean football, and Jeff on, let's say, gymnasts, and, or golf, and Evan, I know we've got a guy from France that's an expert as well. And, yeah, everybody's got different topics. I know June, you're working in, you know, pharmacy, and you could talk about that, and equine athletes. So, you know, giving a specialty, a special sports that you're an expert on. And then just say, yeah, my listeners would be in, I think your listeners would be interested in all the tips or issues I've learned on how to, and then give your topic, fill in the blank, and then your contact information. So it's good to, and then tips to get producers on the phone. You want to, you know, just be really persistent and don't give up till you get the producer. You want to call the, say, the operator there, or the news, the person that you get on the phone the first time. Leave a pitch, leave your pitch on their voicemail, and don't leave any. Just leave one voicemail, and then say 2 days later if you get the voicemail, it may say, you know, hit one for Bob's, the producer Bob's voicemail, or hit two for something else. So, you know, hit, go to one of the producers, to their voicemail, and leave your message there. And then, or if you get a live person, then you could ask to page them. Can you page the producer for me? And I would say, yeah, I mean, you don't want to be a pest, of course, but, you know, every few day or two, call, and you'll get, eventually you get the producer there. And just saying to yourself that positive affirmation or power words, this producer needs me, he needs my content for his show. And then here's five responses that you may get once you do call. Their different responses are, you know, you might say, yeah, that's great, when are you available? So that's the best response. And you could just tell them a time, and then they can book you on the show. Or they might say another response would be, can you send me something? You know, yes, send me a press kit today. It'll, you know, you could say, yes, I'll send a press kit today. It'll come in the mail in a red envelope. If they want something, you know, by mail, most of the time they, you know, it's email, so you could send them, better to send a link rather than an attachment. If you send an attachment like a, you know, PDF file, then, you know, if you send one the first time and you're not in their contact list, then it could accidentally go to spam, their spam folder or junk folder, so it's better not to send an attachment until you know the person. But just send a link, say, to your website or to your Facebook page with your information there. And then you could put basically your press. Send it not to just your home page, but an actual, you know, press page that you've set up. So with those things, items I was talking about, with, say, your topics, your bullet points for what you could say on a radio station, and a photo of you and a your bio, that kind of thing. Put the bio, I'd say, at the... not at the top, maybe just a tiny bit at the top and then most of it at the bottom, because you want the meat of the press page should be the topics that you can address. And then another response you might get would be, can you call me back? So you want to ask, well, when would you like me to call you back? So get a specific time so that you can talk with that person. They might say, you know, another response might be, oh, we're not interested at this time. That topic doesn't work for us. But what you can do is ask about, you know, other topics that might work for them. Offer a different topic, or you can ask for other shows. 30% of shows have a personal exchange. They have like a personnel change. Sorry, so they have maybe a producer or a new host. They'll you know, they'll change producers and hosts every few months even. So if you call back a few months later, it could be a different producer, a different host that has different interests and is, you know, very open to your topic. So I would say, you know, just keep notes on your process and never give up. It's an ongoing process. And just keep promoting. You know, think of it as promotion is a habit. Promotion is a kind of a daily habit, just like we exercise. That's a regular habit, and you want to promote yourself and do something to promote yourself each day. So, and, of course, keep the time zone straight. So if you're calling someone in a radio station in New York and you're in California, make sure you're, you know, allow for that time change. Always ask them what time zone they're in. And ask for the station's hotline number in case you need to move your interview to a different time. So there's a hotline number usually for, you know, real quick questions kind of thing. And then, let's see, I want to talk just a little bit about, we're almost done with my content here, and then I want to ask you guys for your questions. How to prepare for your interview is you want to call the producer, make sure they have your press kit handy, and then you know how long you're going to be on the show. Is it maybe might be half an hour, might be 5 minutes, might be 10 minutes, might be a whole hour, and make sure that you give them your contact information so that they can give that out during the show. Often they'll give it out several times at the beginning and middle and end, or several times during the show. And then you want to be high energy, be excited about your topic, be well informed, and really take charge of the interview. So you know, the best way to do that is have your list of bullet points and say maybe three things, like I talk about the three P's of your performing edge, and I'll say I've got three points, and here's number one. And if you start with number one and say you've got 3 points, of course they're going to ask for point number two, and then they're going to ask for point number three. You know, what's the third one? So that's good. It keeps you in charge of the interview. So, and you don't need to wait for the next question. You can go on to your next bullet point, and they can sit back and let you take charge. And you'll notice that once you start talking, and as you demonstrate that you are in charge and that you understand your topic and that you're a good guest, they'll sit back and let you take charge of the interview, and they don't need to jump in as much. So that's a really good I did that for my beta breakers. You know, beta breakers is a huge race out here. It did have 100,000 people in it, and I did a live interview right at the finish line. And I noticed as I started the first question, the producer was right there on the microphone ready to jump in case I wasn't really confident. But then I noticed as I started talking, he just sat back and relaxed. And as I started talking, it was a visible affirmation that he's saying, oh, okay, she's got it. She's got this under control. I can sit back. I can let her talk. And that was really a nice feeling to be able to have that happen. So that's what you want to happen, too. Just be really confident with what you're saying. You know, have your, of course, your list of sample questions and be ready to go with those. And then jump right into your bullet points. You know, I'll tell them how, you know, tell your audience how they can fill in the blank. And then speak in sound bites. You know, you want 30 to 90 second sound bites so that if you go over that, they'll probably cut into your answer. So just you want to make them short and practice, you know, say a sound bite so that you can just do that 30 second to 90 second answer. And then if they need to cut to a commercial or a break, they want to be able to do that in those in between your sound bites. And if you have 3 points or something, you can extend it out, do one soundbite, and then two and three after that. It's okay to say, you know, refer to your website. You know, you want to do it maybe once or twice, not all the time, but say, you know, for one answer, you could say, oh, that I have that answer on my website here at www here. You can see it on my page there. Here is the short answer to that question, and you can read more on my website. So that's a good way to get people to your website. So those are some things. And then the close at the end of the interview is how can people get your coaching, or how can people get your audio or your article, your tips. Make sure that they make that your last question or middle, you know, really important question on your list of questions. How can people get your whatever that you want, your coaching, your assessment sheet, your tip sheet, and then answer that. Well, the best way is to, and then answer how they can, well, go to your website or call this number, so that they know how to get in touch with you, and also ask them to put your information on the radio website. Just make sure that they, or if you're giving away a free ebook or something, you know, ask them, oh, I just want to tell your listeners how they can get a copy of my free ebook or my free article here, and then make sure you include that. Because that you earn the right to do your marketing. You've given them really valuable information. It's really important for them to know how to get in touch with you. So those are some things to do during the interview. And then the things I do after the interview are, so it's important to say thank you. You know, write them an email. I look forward to being on your show in the near future. If someone, you know, doesn't show up, I'm available. Radio shows have a bulletin board. They have what they call bit boards or bulletin boards, and you can only get up there if the radio person, the radio producer, puts it you up there. So you could ask them. I'd really love it if you'd put my name up there on your bulletin board or your bit board so I could be a guest on other shows, because the radio show, one radio show, will have many, many different programs on that radio station. So if they put your name there as a referral source, then other people will call you for more shows. And if you have a book or some articles, send them more of them. They could give them out free. That way you can get repeat business, too. They need people to fill up their airwaves, so you can get listed on their station's website, as I mentioned, and your tips, and drive people then to your website from there. So those are my tips on radio. And now I just wanted to open up the lines here, ask for your questions. It could be on radio, or feel free to ask me questions on anything that did you have on your coaching, your business, your marketing, all of that. Okay, everyone's unmuted now. Can someone just feel free to, what comments do you have or questions do you have?
Hi, Dr. Joanne, it's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
This was really informative. Thank you very much. It had never dawned on me to actually call a radio station, but you have inspired me.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a question maybe at the end that's not related to this, if there's time.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you can go ahead.
Okay. So I'm referring to this junior A hockey player I'm working with.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, it's such a high-paced game, and I've worked with him on what he should be doing as he is heading out onto the ice to mentally prepare. We've worked on what he can do to recover from bad points, you know, so that he can let them go and just focus on the point at hand. And my question to you is, with such a high-paced sport like hockey, what can you do when you're on the ice to sort of be in that flow state, you know, when you're in the zone, when you're just, like, I know when you're practicing and learning skills, you want to be activating your left brain, but when you're competing, you want to be more right brain, correct?
That's right, yeah.
So what are some things that you can do, you know, while you're on the ice to just get into that right brain and just get out of your own way and get in that flow state?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I hope everyone could hear that okay. Yeah, what to do when you're on the ice to just repeat it so that you can get into that flow state. I know, and it's tricky with hockey. Some of them have told me that they're just out there for, say, 1.5 or 2 minutes, and then they're back on the bench again. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, if you're, you know, like in a marathon, it's easier to get into a flow state because you're just, boom, the gun goes off, and then you're running for 2.5, 3 hours doing the same thing, whereas hockey players are back and forth from the bench to out on the field, out there. So one thing is to try to anticipate before they get out on the ice, if they're on the bench, to visualize, you know, being in the flow, whatever they can do to get into a flow, or visualize themselves, you know, playing well, responding well to the different shots and the puck coming to them, kind of get almost do a mental warm-up, you know, right before they get out there, so that when they get back on the ice, they're not like thinking, whoa, I got to take a few minutes to get back into things. If they can, you know, do that mental warm-up and almost be on the ice in their head before they get out onto the ice, and think about what it is that they want to do in the next, how they want to perform in the next, say, 2 minutes. oftentimes when people are sitting on the bench afterward, they're thinking about the mistakes they just made. Oh, geez, I messed up here. God, I hope I don't mess up again. Oh, I didn't go, you know, go fast enough, or didn't respond to that shot. So if they can have a way to kind of, you know, do, I call it sort of brain dumping. When they get onto the bench, just do that brain dumping of, okay, get that's done. And have some kind of motion, you know, physical motion to get rid of that, you know, with take their hand and kind of put it behind them. Or, you know, you know how you put your hands together, like you're washing your hands, saying, okay, that's over with. That kind of thing, saying some sort of ritual to say that's done and, you know, next play. And then, you know, be able to kind of take a few deep breaths, I think, as they're going out there. And then just being able to, I think, when they're on, when he's on the ice, just saying, okay, you know, come up with some phrase, ask your player, you know, what phrase would be helpful to say to himself over and over, that's, you know, rather than you making up a phrase, ask him let's come up with something that you could say to yourself a few times to, you know, get your, maybe it's just in the flow, or this is easy, or as opposed to, you know, a lot of athletes are saying, oh my God, OMG, as they get out there, oh geez, oh, this is such hard work, I'm so tired. But if you can say to yourself, this is easy, I'm in my element, this is fun, looking for the, depending on what play, what position does he play?
He's offense.
Offense? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's looking to make a shot and that kind of thing. Whatever he can do, ask him, you know, what do you do to get into a flow? And ask him if he can, you know, come up with things and find out when, you know, ask him when he was in a flow the last time. You know, think of a time when you were, you know, he was really in sync with everything, and describe that to you. And then use, you know, think of that again, bring that thought back in, that image of being in a flow and just everything kind of working well together. Maybe call it something, you know, give it an anchor or a name. It could be a color, shape, a word, you know, or a fist pump or some kind of gesture. And so when he, you know, right as he's going out onto the hockey field, you know, just be able to, they do that quick gesture of the fist pump or the wiggling of fingers or whatever, or saying, you know, awesome, or, you know, say a special word, I'm awesome, and something like that to kind of trigger him to get in the flow. And then have a technique for getting, you know, sometimes if things aren't going right, to recover quickly, to say, it's flow time, maybe something like that.
Okay.
Saying that phrase to be able to go for it. And smile. I think that, you know, people often overlook the smiling. You know, they're supposed to be, of course, the hockey players are mean and, you know, really fast and all, but they can smiling is a great way to relax the face and relax the body and feel like, you know, this is, you know, they're having fun out there, that enjoyment factor. Because when you're having fun and enjoying it, then you're thinking about just being in you naturally get into a flow.
That's like Misty Hyman, right?
Right, exactly. Smiling, yeah. When everyone else was.
So I guess when you're doing your sport and you're competing, you're probably going in and out all the time, right, between the two. And so it's just a matter of just gently just bringing yourself back as much as you can, right?
Yeah, right. Realize that, you know, some athletes get really frustrated. Oh, I was in a flow and now I lost it. But, you know, normalizing that that's normal, that we're humans, our bodies are like, you know, minds are like a gypsy, they wander all over, and so it's okay to just realize, okay, now I'm not in the flow, or I'm not in the zone, but I'm just, you know, being aware of that, and then saying, okay, now I just am aware that I'm not kind of lost focus, so now I just refocus. And go back and have a way to just say something to yourself. You know, it could be just the word refocus or laser focus. Sometimes I'll do a, you know, if I'm at my computer and I lose focus, I'll put my hands on my temples and then go and then put both hands straight forward, you know, like I'm from the temple right, you know, forward to the computer, and I kind of like tunnel vision and say, okay, I'm just focusing on this one project. And tell myself laser focus, and you know, and then I get back into it. And sometimes time can, you know, if they're getting tired, if he's getting tired at the end of a game, to count down and just be able to say, okay, only two more minutes, or in this just, oh yeah, the phrase just this play is a good one. Just this, and then fill in the blank, whatever it is with tennis, maybe it's just this serve, or with you know, football. For Willie, it's just this something. With marathon, just this mile. And so thinking, you know, just trying to reel in the brain to just this, just this play, just this 1 minute. So it chunks it down to all I have to think about is just this 1 minute or just this segment of the play, whatever you want to call it. Then it doesn't seem so endlessly long, you know. And
yeah.
Then you can reel in the brain to all that's important is just this play. And then be able to change the focus to whatever he needs. Of course, with focus with hockey, it's not just laser focus on one thing, but it's, you know, that your awareness is going narrow and then wide and back to narrow again, you know, aware of all the other players. So being able to have that flexibility, you know, seeing everything that's going on out on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Michelle.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dr. Joanne.
Yeah. Glad to talk with you. You always have great questions. Yeah.
Huh. I always have a lot of questions.
Yeah. That's great. Let's see. Let me just check in with... others, June, do you have any, I know you're fairly new. Do you have questions, or Jeff or Willie?
You know, this is very helpful for me for my test client. She's a mounted shooter, so she's horseback, riding a horse at maximum speed, guiding it around a really narrow course while at the same time drawing a pistol and shooting at targets. So she has multiple things that she has to be very precise with, and it's a very short period of time, just 2 to 3 minutes that, you know, and the fastest time with the most accurate targets wins. So this is, I'm drawing all kinds of parallels between what you're talking about with the hockey player with what she's doing. And she has just extreme performance anxiety. To the point that when she tries to visualize a run, she gets nauseous. So we have she's very excited. She's already made a lot of strides with just the first introductory session that we did. But yeah, I mean, I'm already seeing where everything that you just talked about with the hockey player could definitely be applied to her.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, that's a really complex sport, riding, and then does she stop riding to shoot at the target?
No, it's a moving. You are galloping at the maximum speed that you can gallop while you guide your horse, and you're shooting on the move. So it's a really difficult sport.
Yeah, what's that called?
It's called cowboy mounted shooting, and it's just they shoot blank, at balloons usually. So it's a course with these balloons set on poles usually, and you have a few different options for how you can navigate the course. If you think you can take some shortcuts to cut some time off, you can do that. But you're riding by these targets and shooting at them. Obviously, you've got one hand to control the horse, and the other hand is your shooting hand. And it's a very popular sport. It has really taken off nationwide, and she's really excited about it. So she'll be going to Las Vegas the 1st of August for her next competition.
Great. Yeah. Have you done that sport yourself, June?
I have not. I shoot and I ride, but I have never put the two together.
I know you think that when people are riding is enough of a challenge and shooting is enough of a challenge, but to be riding and then shooting, you know, you think, has she ever fallen off the horse or anyone?
She's a very experienced horse person. So, you know, she's had her share of injuries and spills, and that is not really an issue for her. She's very confident in that respect, but she is so competitively driven and motivated that she psychs herself out. She just completely undoes herself. She wants so badly to do well and be the best that she just completely loses it when it comes to competition time. So,
yeah. So that would be, I guess, if you can, did she do okay in practice?
She does much better in practice. And she actually related to me. She called me yesterday, and she said, you know, I am so excited because I'm already riding better. I just introduced her to the concept of the breathing, and, you know, to breathe in calm and breathe out focus, or breathe in calm and breathe out tension, or however she wanted to do that, and to concentrate on the breathing while she was riding, because people tend to hold their breath when they ride. The left brain takes over, and you're trying to do all of the stuff that you think you need to do. And she said, I'm just blown away. I just went out and loped my horse around and worked on breathing, and everything was better and easier. And she went and competed at a roping. And she said, usually when we get to the short go, when we make the final, I tense up and I choke and I can't get it done. And she said, this was so much better. I was so much less nervous. I just see how this can all work. So that was, you know, the biggest thing that I introduced her to was the concept of the breathing to get you towards being in the zone, because you can't get there if you're all tense and clenched up and holding your breath. So,
yeah, that's great. If she does well in practice, and this applies to all of you on the call and listening, I think with, and that's one of the main things that our clients, you know, come to us with, is saying, I can do it in practice. I can't do it in the competition, or I freak out. you know, having that practice mindset, you know, saying, okay, we're in, you know, if she's more relaxed when she's just practicing, then be able to figure out, you know, what is it about practicing that helps you to do well. And, you know, I guess the things that she feels when she's in just practicing, you know, say relaxed and focused, that she can, you know, ride well and shoot well, and then almost give it a name, like, okay, this is my practice mindset of I'm proficient at this, I'm competent. And then be able to go into the competitions and set with her practice mindset, say, because it, you know, if you can explain that every competition is really just practice for the next competition, we're always practicing, and not, of course, you know, that when you're in a competition, it is different because there's more on the line, there's more stakes, and there's a competition and people looking at you and rating you and all of that. But it's if there's a way she can, you know, do something to bring that practice mindset into the competition and say, I'm putting on my practice mindset right now, almost like putting on a helmet. She probably wears a helmet, does she, for riding?
She wears a hat. In the Western sports, we haven't fully embraced the helmet, but we're getting there. So,
okay. Well, when she puts on her hat, you say, you know, almost like I'm putting on my, I don't know, when we grew up, there was that I just think of that program, Romper Room or whatever.
Yes.
There's like, put on your thinking cap, you know?
Yes.
You know, when she puts on her hat, almost thinking, okay, I'm putting on my practice mindset, like, I'm which is being relaxed and focused and confident and just saying to yourself, okay, this is, you know, even though it's a competition, this is practice. This is, because it's practice for the next meet, and being able to keep that same, you know, relaxed, focused, confidence that she has in practice and bring it into the competition. That is one suggestion anyway for you. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea for her.
Yeah. So, that's great that you got your practice client here to work with, and that sounds exciting. Yeah. Thanks, June, for your question. Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
It would be great to, it's called Cowboy Mounted Shooting?
Yeah, if you just kind of Google that, you should be able to just pull up websites and videos and kind of get an idea of what it is. So.
Yeah, okay, great. It's so wonderful to have all these different sports. We've had so many different coaches here handling so many different sports, from mixed martial arts, I had a guy with who was a bucking bronco a while back. It's crazy.
Yeah, that only is like 8 seconds of focus.
Yeah,
so.
8 seconds of back-breaking sport. It's just crazy. Yeah. Did someone else want to say something? Yes, I thought I heard a guy in there somewhere. Maybe Jeff or Willie. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do either of you have questions or something you want to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Thanks, Willie. Yeah, it's great having you on the call. Yeah. Is Jeff there too?
I'm here.
Oh yeah. Good. Yeah, Jeff. Do you have a comment or? What you're working out is gymnast and golfer, did you say?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've done with my gymnast, when we're talking about just them performing in the practice and performance mindset, is, I try to just drill it down to the very basics of, you know, it really, you have an audience, you have judges and everything, but you just look at what you're doing, it's really no different than in practice. You're going to do the exact same, you know, so I try to just really break it down. Now, they're younger kids, 13 to 18 years old, but just try to get them and then also, I guess another thing that I've tried to do too is have them embrace that excitement. It's like, you know, it really embrace that, because that's why they're doing it, you know, is to be able to go out and perform and show what they have. And if they really, you know, and I've had a lot of kids that they've really connected with that. It's like, this is my time to shine. This is my opportunity. And they felt more confident, you know, kind of walking into it than being afraid and timid and, you know, that type. So, you know, those two things, I've seen some really cool things happen just with those two little things that I've tried to teach them.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, the phrase, this is my time to shine. And, yeah, saying it's okay to and just embrace that time. Like you say, it's no different than practice. It's just except that there's an audience there, there's judges, everybody's looking at them. But if they focus on that, then it can create more anxiety. But if you can, it just depends on where your focus is. If you just focus on the fun, focus on fun, the F factor, just doing, saying, I'm just doing what I've trained to do. And because it's a more intense situation, I can perform even better. Right? Because with the adrenaline factor, you can really make that work for you. And, embrace with pressure. People think, oh, this is, if you can think of pressure as something that's a good thing, it's motivation to do really well, embrace that pressure, and become a, realize that, and say to yourself, you can have those power words of, I excel under pressure, to have people, have your athletes say that to themselves. I excel under pressure. I do well. If there's other athletes they're competing against, say, these athletes, others are, we're all helping each other to do our best as opposed to competing against the other athletes. just think of it as like in a marathon. I think of a train as all the athletes behind are pushing me forward and all the athletes ahead are pulling me ahead. So that can be a great way to picture it. Yeah, so that's great. Thanks, Jeff. And you got your gymnasts. Do you have one that's a competition coming up?
They'll start again in about a month and a half, and then different age levels. So throughout the year, we're working with them throughout the year because they start at different times.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's been and it's such a difficult sport. They're just I've been a basketball coach for almost 30 years, and I was a gymnast one for about 4 years. I took lessons from the University of Nebraska. But in basketball, you can mess up constantly and not a lot of people see it. Maybe the coach and some teammates, but man, in gymnastics, it's such a short amount of time. Their routines are a minute and a half, and, they're practicing 36 to 40 hours a week, and these are high school kids. So a lot of dedication, and the perceived pressure is enormous sometimes for them.
Yeah, that's amazing. So it's the Olympics are coming up now, of course, and so that's good to. I'm sure you'll be watching and having your athletes watch what happens in the Olympics. It's always inspirational for young, new, up and coming athletes too. With gymnastics, there's so many different you can be in one sport, one event, or you can be an all-around athlete, right, and have to do all the different events. So, it's like being a triathlete or, doing many different things at once. All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much for that. For your comments and questions there, and it's I think that's, and if you can emphasize to athletes too, all of you with the because each of you with Michelle and June and Jeff have the same kinds of questions with different athletes of how to excel under that pressure when you're in the thick of things, And if you can, you know, oh, I had a thought in my mind. Now it just left me. Forgot what it was. Just, you know, thinking about how much, how we use, oh, I was going to say, using it as a learning experience, that's when we grow and we learn the most is when we're challenged. You know, if things are just going easily, like sometimes in practice, you know, we don't really move forward or excel that much. But it's in those the thick of things when you're really up against the wall, against another athlete or situation, that we that's when we really learn about ourselves. You learn what you're made of. And you can grow and excel, and all those things that we've learned get put into practice, and you know, you just, guy, you can do things that you never thought, you never imagined you could do. So it's good to just look forward to those kind of situations. And that's when the brain, too, that's when, you know, it's really important to keep your brain developing. That's when we develop new neurons and new neuromuscular patterns is when we get up against a tough situation and we're forced to figure out, how am I going to get through this? And sometimes we just, athletes can totally surprise themselves that I never thought I could do that until I was in that situation. It's like when I was in the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon, and I was started out 19th place in the marathon, I was ready to quit because it was so tough, and I just, that was one of those moments of truth when I had to just challenge myself and realize, okay, I've gone this far. It's 100 degrees out, it's 90% humidity, I feel like crap, but I'm just going to keep moving forward. And I just challenged myself to keep going, and I passed one woman, and since I passed one, I thought, oh, maybe I can pass another one. And just, you know, kind of, okay, you know, moving up slowly from 19th, 18th place, to 15th place, and then I realized, okay, I'm making progress here, I can do this. And then getting all the way up to, you know, third place and then second place was just you know, phenomenal. But it was, I had to make that decision at the lowest point. Often when you're at the lowest point in your in the competition, that's when you know, kind of come up against the truth in yourself and have to really say, okay, am I going to do this thing? How you know, just push myself, or just say, okay, just go, just the next mile, one step at a time, and kind of break it down into real small pieces. And you find out that you've got a whole lot more than you thought you had. I found that out, and most athletes find that out, and it can be a real changing point. It was a breakthrough point in my life, and I know it can be for you and for all your athletes, too. So, great. Well, this is great. Yeah, any last question? Anyone would have another question that you want to ask? Okay. Well.
Oh, Dr. Joanne, just one comment about the breakthrough.
Yeah.
You know, it's you have to have a breakdown to have a breakthrough, right? So it's like these people that suffer so much from performance anxiety, it's a bit of a breakdown, right? But then they focus on it and deal with it and get some help in that area, and then they have an opportunity for a breakthrough. So there's, you know, you've got your silver lining there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You're just, it's almost like an alcoholic, which is a whole different thing. But, you know, like I did my postdoctoral internship at Stanford University Medical Center in the alcohol and drug treatment program, and they talk about how you have to be at the your lowest point or bottoming out when everything is ruined before someone will seek help and will actually make a change in their life, and then they can have a real turnaround. And same thing with athletes, having that sort of. Yeah, breakdown, and then you're at a crisis point. And I know that Chinese word for crisis means it means crisis or opportunity. When you're at a turning point, kind of thing, and you can, so you're in a crisis, but you can decide to, you know, this is it, I'm quitting, or you can decide, okay, this is an opportunity. Yeah, I'm going to move. I'm going to do everything I can to get through this or figure this out. Yeah, and then, so that's the point where you just say it's. I'm going to. It's almost a, yeah, like a point of desperation. When we get to that lowest point, we seek out. Well, athletes will often. That's the point when they will call you. That's why athletes need us as sports psychology coaches to get called and for help when they're at that desperate point, and then you can help them with that. Go from the breakdown to having that breakthrough and moving forward, and then becoming a much better, much stronger athlete out of that. So yeah, that's a good, a really good thing to think about when you're moving, when you're thinking about athletes. Think about what kind of breakdown are they having, and how can you help them move forward from that and make it a. Usually, that's the time when we really have those real, a stroke of genius. Of thinking, God, I can do this, or I can come up with something I've never thought was inside me. So great. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. This is a great call, a great conversation with you. So put in your schedule. Next one is July the 28th on Thursday. And in the meantime, I'll send you my notes from the call here on how to do the radio interviews. And if you have any, one question, I think June, she was asking for other resources or other books or workbooks. On the website, the Performing Edge Coach website, let's see, under resources there, I think I have I'm developing a workbook and adding new parts to that. Each time I'll try to make a point to add a new section to that of different, exercises that people can do. So you can look there, and I'll send you my latest on that. So that's part of a workbook that you can use for your athletes based on the, it's just internal exercises that I've done and developed. And then there's also other books. You're asking for other resources. There's one called The Sweet Spot in Time by John Jerome. So that's a really good book.
Sorry, what was it again?
The Sweet Spot in Time.
Okay.
The Sweet Spot in Time, and John Jerome, J-E-R-O-M-E. So that's a really good book for sports psychology for all the different sports. Let's see, as I think of other ones, I'll include those in an email to you too. Yeah, there's one called Sports Psychology for Cyclists. That's specifically for cyclists by Dr. Saul Miller, Sports Psychology for Cyclists. And, there's lots of different ones. So I'll send you more information in an email with that. So thank you so much, for everyone, for your call today. Glad that you enjoyed it. And any last comments? Does anyone have?
No, good.
You're good? Okay. All right, thanks. And we'll talk to you on our next call then. And in the meantime, I'll send you more resources. Okay, thanks, everyone. Have a good
great.
Day.
Thanks, John.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sure. Bye now.